We're going to talk about an interesting dude tonight. Get that blue Bible, or if you got your own, of course. Turn in the Old Testament to Exodus, second book in the Bible, and chapter 2. Talking about, I've been studying and myself lately quite a bit. Well, first let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to bless our meeting. Father, we come to you this evening in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to open your word, and that is we live in a country where we're free to do that so far. And God, I thank you for your word. Thank you that it's our roadmap of life. I thank you, Lord, that if we'll get in it, stay in it, study it, you'll always lead us and guide us and direct us. And I thank you for that. And just pray we get something out of this tonight, this discussion that will help us along our way. We praise you for the results of our meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus chapter 2. Anybody remember the story of Moses? What's come to your mind when you think of a guy named Moses? Anything in particular?
He brought the people out.
That's right.
He spent 40 years getting trained and tested to do the job when he was sent somewhere else to get his wife and work.
Yep. Wasn't too happy about that. The first thing we want to notice.
Oh, and then he was set afloat.
And what?
Where he set afloat when he was 3 months.
Yeah, that's what. When he was born, it was a miraculous survival, really. You know? Yes, sir.
Now, after he was, as this young lady was saying, set afloat. Princess of Egypt got a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
And how it doesn't really say here, but I'm going to speculate. Now, if you're replayed your up class, which the king and princes and all of them, they must have gave him a good education.
Mm-hmm.
They must have taught him how to lead people.
Yeah.
Well,
that's step two. This is after. We will talk a little bit about how he got there. And you're right. He was raised in the house of Pharaoh. He was raised right up there at the top, like you say, right? Which
but
was very unusual. He had a what?
Hebrew coat.
When they wrapped him in those little field sayings, they had the Hebrew
blanket.
Yeah. And that would have been, the order was to kill him. Any boy born to a Hebrew was supposed to be killed, right?
Yeah.
I mean, no questions asked. Just keep the girl. And what is interesting is, it doesn't really tell us a lot about his mother. But his mother gave birth to him knowing the order was, here's a boy, they're going to kill him. And what she did was, one thing is she gave him away. She gave him to the Lord in a way. Now, what I mean by that is she took her baby. Now, I can't imagine that. You're a mother, and I'm a daddy and a granddaddy. I cannot imagine taking our new, Sarah Beth was born 2 weeks ago today, our newest grandchild. And I just cannot imagine putting her in a basket or anything and just let her go.
Well, they waited for the princess to come down there, and her servant was supposed to be watching, so they watched till she got him, and then the mother came forward because she told her to go find mm-hmm. someone to nurse the baby, so she got to keep an eye on him.
Well, not only that servant was actually Moses' sister.
Oh, yeah?
See? That's what was interesting. How God put all that together. Now, he planted all that way ahead of time.
Yeah.
I mean, God's the only one that could possibly know that all of this is going to happen. So he set this stage. This just blows my mind to think about. We talk about logistics. We know that word.
Yeah.
And the logistics, if you please, the preface it took to make that happen. I mean, the odds of one is this servant girl. Well, let's see. I think it tells us that. Chapter 2, verse 3, where she could no longer hide him, took an ark. She made an ark or a basket, something to float. See, look at verse 4. His sister stood afar off. See, it was Moses' sister that God planted on the riverbank. I mean, why should Pharaoh's... it said, then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. Her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. All right? And then here comes this little girl, this servant girl, as you said, and suggested, why don't I go get one of these Hebrew women to take care of it for you? This is paraphrasing a lot.
Yeah.
But who did she go get? Of course, she knew who she was going to get. It was Moses' mother. So God, Moses' mother gave him to God, if you see this kind of symbolically. And then gave him to God. Well, God gave Moses back to the mother. God set it up where Moses' mother got to raise him after all. Even though she couldn't say anything about, that's my son, but she had the opportunity to raise him. And what I see in this is submission to the Lord's will. I mean, I can't imagine doing that. You know, like I say, just put, and of course she was hoping, Moses' mother had no guarantee that,
they wouldn't kill him
now. Right. It could have got in current. I don't know. Might not have been no current there. I don't know. It don't say. I'm thinking about river. You know, I'm thinking about, and it might have been a jetty. It might have been, you know, I don't know. But anything could have happened. But she trusted God beyond her understanding, in a way, and said, God is yours. Otherwise, you're going to be killed. We know that the order was out to kill him. Any boy baby was born. But she gave him to God, and then God turned around. Well, he already had a plan, but he let her raise Moses. Yes.
Just to tell you, and back in Genesis there was just to be a savior of the Jews, because basically I'm just trying to set the groundwork.
Yeah, that's too far back, though. We want to go with Moses, okay?
But that's what led up to where Moses...
That's correct.
And everything, so...
That's what I say. God had a plan all the time. It didn't start at that river. It didn't start there. Like you say, God already knew. But now, as we study further...
Boys.
Well, the reason they were killing the boys was because they got afraid that, this goes back to Joseph and his ancestors before this, you're right, in Genesis, and Joseph had a deal, he worked for Pharaoh, got Pharaoh's favor and all that stuff, worked in his house, he was number two man to Pharaoh, but that Pharaoh, all that regime was gone now, they died away, they've got a new king. And one of his counselors, so to speak, let's see, this is back in chapter 1. It said in verse 9, and he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. So the reason they were killing the boys was stop the Hebrews from having more kids. They were going to cut that off. Well, God has always had a remnant. And he was going to preserve that remnant, and he did it through Moses in this case. Come on in.
Oh,
hey, grab you one of those blue Bibles. We're in Exodus chapter 2. And he did that through Moses, but see, he always has to have a willing vessel. That's the bottom line, is God can, and you and I were talking about this earlier, but you see, if God don't have a willing vessel to flow through, then the job's not going to get done. I remember telling him, dumb as it is, telling him what a dumb idea Truck Stop Ministries was. Now that's smart. When you tell God, that's a dumb idea. But now I've always, my prayer life is not King James, shall we say. I talk to him just the way I feel. You said earlier you was angry with God, and that's okay. The good thing is, lay that out on the table. Don't fake it. And when I was frustrated, I tell him, God, what are you doing? You know, our journey with my wife and I right now through breast cancer, you know, we're going through that. I want instantaneous delivery, but it ain't happened, okay? And now we're in she just started Friday a 5-year deal with pills. This therapy is 5 years. So, you know, me say, God, why can't you just touch her? You know, but that's my will, not necessarily God's will. So he had to find, and see, the bottom line, when I get through my frustration, get through my anger spell with God, okay? And if we're honest, we're all there sometime or another. If we're honest, we're all there at some time. But when it's over, when we kind of blow off our steam, and that's okay, and I highly recommend you blow it off. Otherwise, there's going to be road rage come in.
True.
Right? Isn't that really what road rage is? Is people that's blowing off. Well, here's the thing. If we go ahead and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing, and go through that with him, but my prayer always winds up with a repentance, with saying, God, I don't understand it, but I know that you know what you're doing. I don't understand it, and I may not like it, but I know you know what you're doing. And with our children, he keeps bringing me back to my children. My baby's turned 35 on the 7th. Dog, my baby's getting as old as I am. But she's only 4 years younger than me. But anyway, I remember when they were growing up, if you raise children, you can identify with this, you expect them to do what you tell them to do based on, I know what I'm talking about, right? And they look at you sometimes like you're nuts. Well, that's the same way we're doing God, whether we admit it or not. But you see, one thing is good to learn early on is saying, okay, whatever. The sooner you get to that point in any situation, the better off you'll be. Okay, Lord, whatever. I just wrote a new track. It was not even printed yet. It's called Decisions. Say decisions, decisions, decisions. And some of that we make decisions every day and don't even think about it automatically. You know, what exit to get off of, just all kind of decision. The best decision we could ever make is doing what God said to do and submitting to his will and getting the input we need from the Word of God, and that's the only place you can get it. Teaching tapes are great, commentaries are great, but there's nothing except this Bible that will sustain it. Nothing. I got people I love to listen to preach and teach and sing, but I got to have my input from this. I was sharing with him earlier, Satan loves for me to get busy in the ministry. See, he don't care what we're doing just so we're not studying. Okay? He's not concerned about what you're doing as long as you don't study, because he knows that you'll run out of fuel sooner or later if you don't get the word. Preacher, whatever. Don't matter who we are. So he's looking for a willing vessel, and he found it. He knew Moses' mother. He had to keep the remnant going, as we said earlier, right? And Moses' mother was willing. She gave birth to him, saw him, put him into basket or little boat, we call it. Pharaoh's daughter found him. And now look, verse 10 says that the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Verse 11, now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, he went out to his brethren and looked up at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. In other words, how he must have felt. He's being raised as Pharaoh's son, but he has a kindred with the Hebrew automatically. Now, I don't know. I don't see here where he knew he was a Hebrew yet. I don't know at what point he found that out, but it had to be obvious. Probably, I don't know, some way or another to tell what they look like, that I'm not one of these.
Blanket in there, so the princess knew he was.
Right. I mean, she knew that he was adopted. It doesn't use that term. But anyway, when he saw that Hebrew being mistreated, what did he do? He killed him, didn't he? Took him out. Because he had a kindred with them. Well, this is all working into a long-range plan. God's plan for Moses. He had to take him into the house of Pharaoh, be raised there, taught all that, because God knew he was going to come back later on, and he knew everything about that organization, if you please. He knew all about Pharaoh's regime. He knew all about everything they did, because he was raised there, taught there. Somebody said earlier, yeah, he was educated there. Had to have been highly educated in that, I would think. You know, so now we fast forward. Of course, when he killed the Egyptian, what happened? He had to leave. He had to run for his life, because they were going, of course, put him to death. Where does he go? Goes off to a place called Midian. Is that right? Where's it at? M-I-D-I-N. Midian. And he goes over there, and you know that part of the story. He meets up with a shepherd, man that raised sheep. Can you imagine going from Pharaoh's house to living with the sheep? That had to be degrading. But he's alive. I guess he's thinking, well, at least I'm alive. I can live here. I can deal with this, you know. And so, as a result, he gained favor with the owner of this flock, and in turn, I'm looking for his name. Anyway, the owner of the flock gave one of his daughters to him for his wife. How you pronounce that? Verse 18, isn't it?
Ruel.
I kind of like that company, Rail. But he gained favor with him to the point that he gave him one of his daughters to be married. And, of course, he's living over there and had become, I would think, happy.
Well, he was kind of tricked into that. He wanted the other daughter, but they had to, the oldest daughter had to be married first. So he married the oldest daughter and had to work off 10 years or 7 years before he got the thought he wanted.
Are you talking about
no, that's not Moses. That's
wasn't Moses?
Joseph.
That was that wasn't Joseph.
Isaiah.
Help me. Who is that? I know who you're talking about. Anyway.
And it starts with I. Jacob.
Oh. That's who that was. Anyway, Moses is over there tending sheep. Now, we don't have time to go into chapter 3 where God called him to ministry, I call it. Can you imagine that? He was out there. We will go a little ways, I guess. You know the story about the burning bush in his life? Can you imagine seeing a bush burn but it don't burn up? That freaked me out. I mean, you know. And he goes up to it, and a voice comes out of the burning bush. I think, I've been sober a long time. I know it can't be that. I've seen some things that wasn't there, but it's been a long time ago, and I know I'm sober. But you know, the point that the whole point of everything we want to talk about tonight is being willing to obey God and do what He called us to do.
And stop saying, "You want me to do what?"
Stop questioning and telling God, "I can't. I don't know how." You know, that won't work. I can tell you already. In fact, one reason I've looking back at Moses again for the last several weeks, actually, I've been reading and studying this area, and for the last 3 weeks, just looking at this, it's not really relevant, but just for what it's worth, when God called me to start Truck Stop Ministries, and I come up with the objections why it wouldn't work, I'll never forget when I was praying one night, He said, "You sound like Moses."
Oops.
And of course, I knew this story. And, you know, it goes on in chapter 3 when God, you know, starts laying out what I want you to do. You know, go back to Pharaoh. And of course, one of it, I've got another a message I'm working on called The Buts of Moses. Every time God says something, He said, "But." But, you know, we call them billy goat Christians. They're always butting something. And, of course, God had a plan. And even Moses objected to the point it made God angry, it says. It said God's anger was kindled against Moses. You know, God is trying to say, "Hey, I got a job for you." Now, to me, because I'm looking back at it now, at the time it didn't seem right. But looking back at it, when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will allow you to do something for Him, we should jump at the chance. We should jump at the chance, right?
Right.
When the King of Kings says, "That's my boy," or "That's my girl." I mean, you know, we've got influential friends that are known. One I'm thinking about, his name's known all over the world. He's a personal friend of mine. And I like for people to know that I'm friends with this person. Okay?
I bet I know who it is.
And he loves the Lord too, by the way. But God is my Father. We are a child of God as born-again Christians, right? You don't get no higher than that. It don't get no better than that. Somebody that's always there. My Father's always there. He never fails to hear my prayer or yours. Well, no, let me correct that a little bit. Because if you're not living in line with His Word, your prayers can be hindered. There's 100 reasons why our prayers get hindered. For those of us that's married, Bandit don't have to worry about that yet.
I don't either.
But for those men that are married, let me tell you something. The Bible very, very clearly teaches us our prayers can be hindered according to how we treat our wife. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't want my prayers hindered, because when I'm in trouble or for whatever and I pray, I want to know God's going to answer. Amen? So tonight, we just kind of wrap it up by saying Moses is a hero of mine. He was given a tremendous task. Now, by the way, he's going from being a shepherd to 3 million people. History tells us there was about 3 million Hebrews that he was going to take over and lead. Are you crazy? Right?
They attacked him the next day after he killed an Egyptian. That's why he ran, because he thought they'd tell on him.
But what happened? He went back just like God led him to, the long story. And Pharaoh eventually... one thing I've always had a problem with that is God told him, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart and he won't let him go.
Yeah.
Why did he do that? Why did, you know, in my mind, why didn't the first meeting with Pharaoh, why didn't God cause Pharaoh to turn him loose? Well, there's reasons for all that, of course. And if we study it out, God will show us that. But me, I'm a microwave kind of person. I want it right now. But he had to go through all kinds of things. But you know the end of the story, of course. He let him out. And if you follow his life all the way through, you know he didn't get to go to the promised land. Moses didn't get to go in. You know why?
Because he disobeyed God.
He disobeyed God one time. One time. Aren't we glad we live under grace and not the law? Amen?
The water from the rock, right?
That's right. Exactly. God said, speak to the rock. And I can, you know, just in my mind, I can say, I'm going to show off.
I think he was angry because they were all yelling at him and carrying on. And well, here,
I tell you what.
They were yelling at him.
Oh, man. Can you imagine if you've been in management at all, if you've been around people at all, if you've got a group of five or more, you're going to have 10 opinions.
Amen.
You know, 3 million. Who had been in bondage all those years, and one guy, well, actually, you know, Joshua was there in different ones, but one guy is going to tell them all what to do, and they're going to follow him? Fat chance. Fat chance. But that was the monumental task that God gave Moses, but he submitted, and he did it. That's the bottom line. So tonight, I don't know where you are with your walk with God or what he's calling on you to do or what he's leading you to do, but let me tell you this from experience, folks. You ain't going to win if you're bucking against him. I am so glad that I finally got enough sense to do what he said. Now, I didn't do it right away. Me and him discussed this for at least 6 months. I don't remember the exact time when he first dealt with me about it. I couldn't, in all honesty, I couldn't tell you. But I know it was at least 6 months. I was still an owner-operator, driver, doing my thing, you know, and handing out tracts. That was my out. I'm doing all this for you, and I enjoy it. I love it. I love what I was doing. Love to be where you are now. Just going and, you know, wherever the load goes, so to speak, and ministering wherever it's going, and that wasn't enough. That wasn't what he wanted me. I was going to spend my whole life doing that. That was my intention. I had a plan worked out. You can ask my wife. Had this plan mapped out where the children are grown and gone. We're going to do this. I'm going to get into hauling over-dimensioned loads. You know, high, wide, long, heavy, whatever. At night, we'll be at a truck stop and pretty well know every night where we're going to be. And we'll be there and we'll have our, you know, grab a shower and get out there and minister a while, go to bed, get up and gone with the dawn, so to speak. And I had everything laid out. The only problem is it wasn't what God wanted. Sounded good to me, but it wasn't what God wanted. He wanted to take us, and I think he wants to get us where it's absolutely impossible without him. See, we could never take credit for anything because it has to be God. It has to be God, and that's where he wants us to be. It's totally dependent on him, but like little children, we got one of our granddaughters. I had her the other day. This our newest granddaughter's sister is 2 years old. And she walked up to something, and all I have to do is say, no touch. That's a no touch. And she'll stand there and look at it. That's what God's looking for from me. Is when he says, do it, just do it. Let's not discuss it. But we're human, right? I got a better idea, God. Or let me adjust your idea. Ain't going to happen. Again, thank God for men and women in the Bible, like Moses. A lot of women was there. I think of Esther. I think of different women that God used in the Bible, Ruth, Naomi, etc. Just lots of women. And Mary, for crying out loud. Hey, it wasn't, you know, she was facing death. Pregnant out of wedlock. Wasn't no Planned Parenthood then. You dead, Fred. Stoned you to death. So she was willing to do what she did. God's always looking for somebody that will take that step into the unknown and follow him. I can tell you from experience that it's the greatest life that could ever be. Now, I can also tell you it can get very frustrating because we humans want to do it our way. And I said we. I mean, God can give me a plan and I'll take off with the plan and pretty soon I find myself adjusting the plan. How stupid can you get? But I'm there. And you are too. Right? But what I want to tell you tonight, let's just pray for one another that our commitment will be where God wants it to be, that our allegiance will be to God, not to ourselves or person. I finally got to the point in my life, and this sounds a little crude, but I really don't care what people think. Because if I spend my time worrying about what people think, I won't never get nothing done for God. You know, and I don't want to sound like a hero, but you just got to get to the point where I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to do anything. So I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to try to pattern my life somewhat like Moses and say, okay, God, it's absolutely impossible, but if you want me to do it, let's go. And I've shared this story many times, but God waits till the economy is the absolute worst I've ever seen it and tells us to build offices. Does that make any sense whatsoever? No. No. Now we got another ministry wanting to sell us a chapel and a ministry. Already there, been running for years. Want some money. And I'll tell you after if you want to know where it's at, I'd be glad to tell you so you can pray about it. But now's not the time to go spending money. If anything, people are cutting back. Ministries are cutting back. Churches are cutting back.
Money's not coming in because people don't have jobs.
But if God said go do it, we don't have any choice, right? Because we already made that choice. We will just go do it. Come on in. We're about to wrap it up. Come on in. Tonight, like I said, I don't know where everybody, you know, we see each other in a chapel sometimes or a truck show or something like that. You don't know my life. I don't know your life. But God does. And you know God. You know where you are with God. And if it's not where it should be, if you're not where you should be, there's a good thing you can do about that, and that's repent. And one repentance is not enough. Now, what I mean by that is, as you go along, you're going to goof up again. And we need to come, and God always points it out to me. He points out my goof up. And I say, okay. Sometimes I say, I didn't realize I did that. I didn't realize I didn't act right, didn't react right, whatever the case is. And I say, Lord, forgive me. You know what happens when I say that? I'm forgiven, just like that. And the good part is, in fact, I was praying about a certain thing, and I mentioned it like the third time. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, I forgave you the first time you mentioned that, so let's go on. Oh, yeah, that's right. But see, my conscience or my flesh, I want to earn that forgiveness. I want to, you know, I'm taught you got to do something. No, you don't. No, you don't. He said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's all we got to do. It's so simple we miss it. And then get back in the Word. Get in the Word. You can't work. You can't have a successful, victorious Christian life without reading the Word. And I'll tell you this, read it out loud. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't hear it, it goes in your mind and not in your spirit. And I point at my heart, I mean, I don't know where it's, we always say in there. But I do know where Satan plays is in the mind. The intellect. It actually is your soul. But we won't get, that's another teaching. But we don't want it just up here. We want it in us. So we need to hear the Word. Tonight I want to close with a simple prayer. I always do. Somebody here, some in your life that shouldn't be, we're all going to pray it together. And I mean it every time I pray it. I mean it just as much as I'm asking you to mean it. And that is, we're going to pray it according to the Word of God, 1 John 1:9. We're going to confess our sins. We're not going to itemize them. Might be here all night. But we're going to ask him to forgive us our sin, come in our heart, and if something God has spoken to you about or dealt with you about, whatever you want to call it, then now's the time to unload it right here. This is a good unloading place. And leave it here. Leave it here. Because God will take it. Only if you give it to him. Only if you give it to him. We've got to release it to him and walk away. Just like Moses. He finally surrendered to God and said, okay, whatever you say, let's go. And again, in my mind, I got to think, he must have thought, I was raised in this place. I know, you know, and here's 3 million people and they're just going to follow me out. You know, and they did. Just like God said. Again, tonight I want to close with this prayer. If you mean it, God will forgive you of whatever it is in your life that you confess to him. Now, apologizing and confession is not the same. When we repent, the word repent means to turn around. The word repent means to go the other direction. That means when we say, God, forgive me, and something in your mind that you're particularly thinking about, that means we don't go there no more. With God's help, I should say, we don't go there anymore. If we stumble, then we repent again and say, Lord, forgive me. But we get in the Word and get strong in that area so that don't keep happening. Just like my little grandchildren I'm talking about. You know, we teach them the right way when they goof up. If they come and say, I'm sorry, then I say, that's all right, don't worry about it. But if it goes on and on and on about, you know, after a while, I'm going to say, wait a minute, we've already dealt with this. And that's the way God looks at us, I think, is we need to grow in the Word, grow up, mature in the Word. Let's close by praying a prayer. I want you to pray it with me in case someone in the room wants to mean it from their heart. I like to do it this way. If you've been here before, you know what I want to do. And you say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't need to pray. Well, that's fine, but somebody in here might need it and might want to mean it from their heart. That way, only that person and God will know, because I'm not going to go around and take a poll. It's a very personal thing. So with your heads up, eyes open, would you pray this with me? Simply this, Heavenly Father, I come to you. In the name of Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I thank you for your word. I believe your word.
I believe your word.
And I receive your word.
I receive your word.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.